Father, we lift Jonathan and his ministry up. We lift his family up to you. And Father, take that 20% of the United States students and multiply them.
Yes, Lord.
So that this nation can turn back to you. Father, I thank you for this man's heart. Protect him, meet his needs, be with his family, and Lord, multiply his fruit there, because our nation and the nations he's sending these young men and women to need you, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jonathan. If you have your Bibles, open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. My goal today is to do this. I'm going to read a corrective letter, an entire chapter from the Apostle Paul. He's correcting the Corinthians because they went around babbling in tongues all the time. Nobody understood what they were talking about. They had the wrong idea about spiritual gifts. Now, we don't have that problem here. Everybody agree? I didn't hear you all babbling in tongues this morning. But what I want you to see out of this text is what the church was like and what a meeting was like and how far away we've gotten from it. All right, I'm going to read from Francis Chan's book, Letters to the Church. In the back, it says, as Chan says, we've strayed so far from what God calls church. We all know it. We know that what we're experiencing is radically different from the church in Scripture. For decades, church leaders like myself have lost sight of the inherent mystery of the church. We have trained people sitting in the pews to become addicted to lesser things. It's time for that to change. So I'm going to read chapter 14, and then we're going to talk. We were here singing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Is he? It's a great question, but what does it look like for us? Also, before I go any further, somebody's going to go, oh, they're going to change everything and do everything. No, everything we do will be slowly. We will do it with purpose, okay? But we want to turn the Holy Spirit loose to work in the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. The one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Don't miss that. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. Don't miss that. But I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the pipe or the harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the Spirit, how can someone else who is now put in the position of an inquirer say amen to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you are saying? You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you, but in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in thinking, be adults. In the law it is written, with other tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. But even then, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Now, before I read the next part of the text, I want you to notice when he says tongues are a sign for believers or for unbelievers, it's a negative sign. Okay, some people read this and they say we should pray in tongues or speak in tongues when unbelievers are there. No, you should not. It's a negative sign. Tongues then are a sign not for believers but for unbelievers. However, prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers but for believers. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or inquirer comes in, while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin, they are brought under judgment by all. As the secrets of their hearts are laid bare, so they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. That's what we want to happen, church. What then shall we say? Brothers and sisters, when you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. If anyone speaks in a tongue, 2 or at the most 3 should speak, 1 at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in church and speak to himself and to God. 2 or 3 prophets should speak, and others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. You can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people. Now, ladies, relax when I read this next part. I would like to skip over it, but then I get an email saying you skipped over this. This next part has to do with culture. All right? Men and women were separated in this period of time when they got together. But also, you have to take the whole counsel of the Word of God. Back in chapter 11, Paul talks about women praying and prophesying. In Acts 21, Philip had 4 unmarried daughters who prophesied. So you have to take the whole counsel of God before you go, oh, that pastor read that text, you know. So don't get mad at me and don't get mad at the Apostle Paul. Women should remain silent in churches. They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church. Or did the word of God originate with you? Or are you the only people it has reached? If anyone thinks they are a prophet or otherwise gifted by the Spirit, let them acknowledge that what I am writing to you is the Lord's command. If anyone ignores this, they themselves will be ignored. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. Father, I ask for your help. I ask that you help me to be clear. I ask that you help me to unpack the Word of God according to what your Spirit really meant. When he caused Paul to pen it, and then guide the church into all truth and help us to become the church you've called us to be, in Jesus' name, amen. Your first point, eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit in context of chapters 12 and 13 of 1 Corinthians. In chapter 12, it describes you as the body of Christ. And it says, if you like being the big toe or you don't like being the big toe, you are still part of the body of Christ and you can't get away from it. If we are truly believers and if we have the Spirit of God inside of us, God has given us a gift and we are part of the body and the body needs the part. And even if you don't want to be part of that body some days, you're still part of the body. See, the Corinthians thought speaking in tongues was the greatest gift in the world, and they were doing it all the time, and they thought they were more spiritual than everybody else, and that wasn't true. And Paul had to tell them, you're part of the body. And then he says, let me show you a more excellent way, and then we have the love chapter, which is read at so many weddings, and I'm fine with that, but that's not the context. The context is, if you have the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how they work in the body of Christ, you have to have love or you're a clanging gong. You mean nothing. You make weird sounds that don't help anyone. And so in context, eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Now here's my question for you. When was the last time you said, hey, Lord, what is my gift from the Holy Spirit? Or when was the last time you even knew you had a gift from the Holy Spirit? And when was the last time you wanted to make sure you were using the gift the Holy Spirit gave you? And when was the last time a church really opened the doors and said, Lord, we're open for what the Holy Spirit wants to do here? And so this morning, I want to say eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. You know, I remember the days when people would come and say, Pastor, something happened to me. I started speaking in a different language. I was reading my Bible. I was praying. And all of a sudden, this started. What's going on? And we would explain to them, that's a gift of tongues that God's given to you. And if he's given it to you, let's help you understand it biblically. And then here's where how it's useful, here's how it's not useful. That's what the Apostle Paul's doing, correct? It's so important that you would open your minds and your hearts to the Holy Spirit. Now listen to what I'm saying. Don't get weird. Get filled with the Spirit so that the church can be built up. The enemy wants us to argue about what the Holy Spirit does and doesn't do, and he wants the church to stay as far back as we can from the Holy Spirit. If you could have heard the battle going on in my mind over even speaking about this, you would know that the Holy Spirit is real, and he wants to fill us and be moving in our body. And the enemy hates it. Eagerly desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He says it in the first verse. He says it in the 39th verse. Be eager to prophesy. At the best to church today is kind of, well, it might be real, it might not be real. It's real. Your next point, in a corporate gathering, the congregation must understand in order to be edified. See, in a corporate gathering, when something goes on in here, if somebody speaks in a tongue, there has to be an interpretation, or I have to explain that person maybe shouldn't have spoke to themselves and to God. See, it's very simple, but most churches will quench it and stop it because you can't control it, you see. And what we have to do is let the Holy Spirit move, and then we have to be shepherds and pastors and say, this was in order, this was out of order. Our old friend Dieter Jentz, who is with Jesus right now, told me one day he was in a church service and somebody spoke out in a tongue. And the pastor got up and said, it's from the devil, it's not from God. You know, it never should have happened. Disregard it. And Dieter, at the end of the service, because he was afraid to speak up in the middle of the service, went up to the pastor and said, the man spoke perfect German and he was praising God with all his heart. And I can tell you exactly what he said. So if someone speaks in a tongue and there's an interpretation, it can cut somebody to the heart, church. Now, the definition of prophecy in the text, see, in a corporate gathering, he says, you should seek to prophesy. Now, look what it says in verse 3. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Because we should all be saying, what does it mean to prophesy? It's somebody speaking so people can be strengthened, encouraged, and comforted. Down in verse 6, it says, unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction, so the church can be built up. This morning before the church, I was talking to a man and he confirmed this message. He had no idea what I was going to say today, but he was speaking to me and he was helping me. He said, we're in a spiritual battle. We need the Holy Spirit. Now, for some of you, if you've been taught, and so many people have been taught this way, you know, I've been taught before, prophecy is when the pastor gets up and speaks. He speaks in that role of prophecy. Listen to what Dr. Gordon Fee says about this. At the same time, Paul's clear preference for prophetic utterances is often neglected throughout the church. By prophecy, of course, as the full evidence of this chapter makes clear, he does not mean a prepared sermon, but the spontaneous word given to God's people for edification of the whole. Most contemporary churches would have to be radically reconstructed in terms of their self-understanding for such to take place. Again, Pentecostal and charismatic groups, where such utterances are more often in evidence, continually need to test the spirits in terms of their capability to strengthen, encourage, and comfort the community. So you know what this means? It means that today during worship, or if there was a quiet moment, which we usually don't like to let happen, that's dead time on the radio and you don't know what's going to happen, right? But what if God said to you, speak this to my church? But see, because we love to control everything, Now listen to me. Don't leave here and go, oh, they're going to change everything. Next week we're going to come back. It's going to be different. No. But we're going to be asking God, how can this happen? And we want to turn the body of Christ loose to let the Holy Spirit work. I'll never forget years ago, a young lady came visiting here. And you know, right before I got up to speak, a lady over here in this section somewhere got up and she spoke out in English. And man, she spoke really clear, and this lady could hear her perfectly clearly. And you know, everybody just kind of went, okay, and it was a good word from God, you see. And at the end of the service, that visitor walked up to me and she said, I just got to tell you. Man, she had tears in her eyes. She said, what you had to say to me meant nothing today. Good. All right. She said, when that lady spoke, she said she spoke words that my mom used to speak to me when I went to church as a child. And so, church, isn't it time to let the Holy Spirit loose in an orderly fashion? And see, I agree with what Francis Chan said. We've gotten so far out. And so you all need to know that you have a gift from God. And if it can build up the church, we should be open to that. All right? Now look at your next point. The goal of our gathering is described in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 25. I'll read 24 for context, but 25 is where we want to be. But if an unbeliever or inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all, as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare, so they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. Another point I want to say here, that I don't believe that's just for inquirers or unbelievers. I believe it's for believers who can come in and hear the Word of God and go, wow, I didn't see that before. One of my favorite stories about the Word of God is from Jack Hayford, who was on a radio program with an older Baptist minister who didn't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And someone called in on the radio show, and Jack Hayford read the words, "Do not forbid to speak in tongues." And at the end of the service, Jack Hayford said that the man came and he said, "I owe you an apology." And he said, "Why?" And he said, "Because I've been telling people for years not to speak in tongues." And he said, "I didn't realize that's what it says in the Scripture." Now see, he's not saying let tongues run wild like the Corinthians, where he's saying do this in order and there's value for you personally in your personal life if God gives you the gift. If he doesn't, relax, go home, do whatever you were going to do. See, don't go home saying I have to have that gift. That's wrong too. But be open to what the Holy Spirit has. And the goal, again, is that the secrets of the hearts would be laid bare. Look at your next point. Everyone is expected to participate. To which you're all going, oh, wait a minute. Man, what's going on here? Didn't we participate in worship? Wasn't worship this morning was awesome? And weren't you participating? Weren't you glorifying God? That's one place we participate. There's another place we can participate. If God gives you a word to speak, you can speak the word. There are a few things in here that would cause some troubles. If you're way over here and you speak the word, they can't hear over here. So then as leaders, we have to make sure everybody heard it if it's a word that edifies and builds up the church, and it would make the church stronger. Is everybody tracking with me here? If somebody speaks in a tongue, there has to be an interpretation. If there's not an interpretation, then I would have to say to that person, you should be speaking to yourself and God. It will edify you. It's not bad. Paul isn't saying stop it. He says, I wish you all prayed in tongues. Don't forbid to speak in tongues. But in the proper setting and in order. And then here's a problem we have. People won't participate because if it's really from God and it's from the Holy Spirit, it has to be perfect, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. I make mistakes every time I stand up to preach. I try not to. Every preacher makes mistakes. We are flawed human beings. But the enemy wants to make you think that if the Spirit moves on you, you have to speak everything absolutely perfect. It has to be in perfection, you see. And why did he put the love chapter in the middle? It's so when you make a mistake, we will love you, we will correct you, and then we will come together for what? The building up of the church, so the church is strong. Jonathan talked about gifts of healing. When was the last time you met somebody that was hurting and you walked away and didn't pray for them? Do we even recognize that God gives us gifts of knowledge and wisdom? One of my favorite preachers doesn't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit the way I believe, but I love this guy, and he studies the Word of God, and he's a wonderful expositor of Scripture. And I want to tell you a story that I heard from him one time. Now, don't read this into me talking about me or my wife, okay? Please, everybody with me, understand this. Don't go, oh, the pastor wants more money. Don't do that. I am so taken care of. I love this body. You love me. But this is what he said. He was talking to leaders of the church, and some guy raised his hand. He said, hey, our senior pastor's wife doesn't get involved in the church at all. Kind of standoffish and real quiet. What should we do? And this man, I was listening to him say this, and I loved it. And he said, I don't know what happened to me. He said, I kind of just shot from the hip. I never do this. He said, I said to the guy, I said, double your pastor's wages. And he said, I stood at the pulpit going, what just happened? And he said, at the end of his time speaking, question and answer, an elder from that church came up and he said, "You were so on target." He said, "The elders of our church believe if they pay the pastor too much, money will corrupt him. So they keep his wages really low so that he won't be corrupted by money." But he said, his wife goes to Goodwill to get clothes. And they just barely have enough to buy food. And he said, "You were so correct by what you said." A guy who would not agree with me in everything I'm saying today was moved by the Holy Spirit, and he spoke a word of knowledge and wisdom that could change an entire church body. And church, we need the Holy Spirit, and everyone has to participate. You have no clue this morning when you walk out this place, if you stop and talk to somebody, if you won't speak an encouraging word, or if you won't speak a word. In our small group settings, this is perfect for what the Apostle Paul is writing about, because you can encourage each other. You can go into Scripture with each other. You can speak a word of encouragement. You can speak correction. You can have revelation. And everyone can participate. Another way you all participate, because I got to move on quickly here, but another way you participate is you all judge what's going on. Verse 29, two or three prophets should speak and the others should weigh carefully what is being said. I can prove it to you right now. Every one of you is going to leave here this morning and go, "Well, did you hear what he said?" And you're going to go, "That was a great message. That was a bad message. I don't think that was correct." And you're all going to weigh. You're participating right now. And you should participate, and you should go to the Word, and you should study. And I'm here to tell you, we need the Holy Spirit moving in the body of Christ. Every week I get pamphlets, I get emails, I get things. Build your church. You want to fill your seats. It says it right on the headline. Fill your seats. And it's a program, you know? Get a clown out in front and everybody will come in. No! How about let the Holy Spirit move? Let needs be met. Adhere to the Word of God. Do your best to do what it says. Next point, God's character demands and demonstrates order. See, I love how Paul does this. He says to the Corinthians, there has to be order in your services. One person has something to say politely, one sit down, one get up. Do it in order. Respect the leaders. See, God has always been a God of order. In the book of Exodus, he takes millions of people and he keeps them in perfect order and in ranks. It's amazing to me how orderly God is. Paul says everything has to be done in order. But somehow the order in the American church has kind of said, "Holy Spirit, we really love you, but I don't think we're willing to take a chance on you moving today." And it's my prayer, church, that your heart will be open for what the Holy Spirit has for you today. You know, in the coming weeks, see, I want you to know, if God gives you a message for the church, if you think you can stand up and speak it, you can stand up and speak it, and then everybody will weigh, and we will love you. If not, many people come to me and they say, "Hey, I think God is saying this, you see, and I can weigh it, and then we can speak it." But the point is, we have to open up. Because the Spirit wants to speak to us. He wants to heal through us. He wants to give words of knowledge and wisdom. You know what the church needs today? Revelation on what's coming in the future and how we should behave. We already know what's coming, folks. All we got to do is read the Word of God. And then how do we deal with it under the pressure that the world brings? And the Spirit of God will bring revelation so that we can do this. But are you open? Do you eagerly desire the gifts? Or have you just said, oh man, it's a scary thing. It's not scary. It brings peace like you can't imagine if it's really the Holy Spirit. If you're scared, that's not the Holy Spirit. God will bring peace. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. Will you open up to Him? The last question, how does this happen at Mount Zion Christian Church? Great question, isn't it? I see it happening right now. See, when we dismiss, you know what I've noticed over the last year or two? You don't all run out the back door. And we have more and more fellowship. And I see people over here in the middle. I will see people praying for each other, ministering to one another. On the way out to the parking lot, I will see. I think it was a week or two ago, somebody was helping someone change a flat tire out there. And you go, that's a flat tire. That is hospitality. That is helping. That's loving your brothers and your sisters. And again, I want to highlight small group ministries. Folks, I grew up in a charismatic prayer group, man, where we went there and sat down and we expected people to have words from God. And they would all get up and speak. And at the end of the night, we were edified and we were built up and we were filled up with the Holy Ghost. So that ministry can go on and on. And then here in the body, like I said, if God gives a word for this church, you can speak it and we will weigh it. If you're afraid to speak it, you can come to us personally. And here's my goal, church, my goal. And it has been since the first moment I got saved. I would ask, why doesn't the Holy Spirit work like this in the church today? You know what the reason is? Because of people like me that won't let it happen. Because of leaders that want to control everything. Now, hear what I said. Not keep order. We're going to keep order. But I want to let the Holy Spirit move in us. If you're in here today and you have no clue what I'm talking about and you want to get filled with the Holy Spirit, come up and we'll explain. So many people are filled with the Spirit and they haven't used the gift that God gave them for so long. I hear it day after day. Pastor, when I was first saved, I began to do this and I had this gift. And I said, what happened to it? Well, I just kind of forgot about it and let it go. Don't let it go. Lord, come this morning in the precious name of Jesus and help us not to quench your presence in our lives. Lord, guide us as leaders on how this works in this body setting. But Lord, we ask you to live and to move and to have your being in each of us today. Guide us into all truth. And build up your body so that we're strong in these last days when this world needs you and you live in us, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer, if you have questions, we're here. If not, go in peace to love and serve our God. And please be open to what the Spirit of God wants to do in you. God bless you.